On the first Monday of April, 1625, the market town of Meung seemed to be in great turmoil. A number of townsmen, seeing women running in the direction of the main street, hastened to put on their breastplates and made their way toward the inn, in front of which a noisy throng was growing larger by the minute. Panics were frequent. Noblemen fought among themselves. The king was at war with the cardinal. The Spanish were at war with the king. There were robbers, beggars, Huguenots, and lackeys who were at war with everyone. It was because of these habits that the townsmen, hearing a commotion, hurried toward the inn. When they arrived there, they were able to see the cause of the tumult. A young man. Imagine Don Quixote at 18, without chainmail or thigh pieces. He had a long, dark face. His eyes were frank and intelligent. He was too big for an adolescent and too small for a full-grown man. An untrained eye might have taken him for a farmer's son on a journey if it had not been for the sword that hung from a shoulder belt. The young man had a mount, one that could not fail to attract attention. A small horse, 12 to 14 years old, with a yellowish coat, an almost hairless tail, and sores on his legs. He walked with his head lower than his knees, but he could still do 20 miles a day. Unfortunately, his good qualities were hidden by his strange color and his outlandish gait. Since in those days everyone was a practiced judge of horses, his appearance had caused a sensation that cast disfavor on his rider. This was painful to young D'Artagnan, because he was well aware of how ridiculous his horse made him seem, even though he was an excellent rider. That was why he sighed when he had accepted the horse as a gift from his father.
"My son," the nobleman had said, "this horse was born on my estate nearly 13 years ago, and has never left it. Let him die peacefully and honorably of old age, and if you go to war with him, treat him with consideration. Never tolerate the slightest affront from anyone except the cardinal or the king. Don't be afraid of opportunities, and seek out adventures. I've taught you to use a sword. Fight duels at the drop of a hat, especially since duels are forbidden. That means it takes twice as much courage to fight one. I have only one more thing to add. I'm speaking of Monsieur de Tréville, who used to be my neighbor and had the honor of playing with our King Louis XIII when they were both children. Sometimes their games turned into fights, and the king didn't always win them. The drubbings he got from Tréville made him feel great respect and friendship for him. Later, Tréville fought duels, so in spite of orders and decrees, he's now captain of the musketeers. The musketeers, my son, are a legion of heroes, highly favored by the king and feared by the cardinal. Monsieur de Tréville earns 10,000 écus a year, so he's a very great lord. He began like you. Go and see him with this letter, and take him as your model." The elder D'Artagnan then buckled his own sword on his son, kissed him on both cheeks, and gave him his blessing. Traveling with that horse and that advice, he was an exact copy, morally and physically, of Cervantes' hero. Don Quixote took windmills for giants and sheep for armies. D'Artagnan took every smile as an insult and every look as a challenge. As a result, all the way from Tarbes to Meung, his fist was constantly clenched, and he put his hand to his sword a dozen times.